But I tell you what, when it rains, it pours. When it comes to the book of Revelation, we're getting into the book of Revelation, chapter 18. Last week, we looked at chapter 17. We looked at the religious prostitute. And, of course, the beast was just using the prostitute, which was what? Babylon and the religious system. We looked at what the religious system was last week, which was in three parts. We looked at Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, where they changed the glory of the Lord into the image of made with corruptible man, and of birds, four-footed beasts, and I'm quote and unquoting certain words in this verse. This is just pantheism. In other words, this is just, again, worship of creation. That means God's in everything. Romans chapter 1 is basically saying mankind became foolish in his own thoughts and decided to worship the creature instead of the creator. And we have that happening all around us today. And of course, one of those is materialism. And we're going to look at commercialism today as part of the Babylonian deal, and as well as the political scene. But the, we looked at last week was the religious scene. And remember, the Antichrist will come, and he will do away with the prostitute, the religious system, and because he will want to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He will set up himself. We've already been through this in the previous chapters. I know some of you weren't here, but he set himself up. The false prophet said, look at him, behold, you know, he'll say the Lamb of God. It will be a false prophet. A false Holy Spirit point to him and say, look, this is Jesus. I really believe he will be the counterfeit of what Christ was. He'll be coming in likewise manner. We looked at three areas there. One was him being a Jew. Another one was being a Gentile. And, of course, another one would be a Muslim, the Antichrist could be. Do we really know for sure? No, we don't. So you don't waste your time going through all these books. I used to have hundreds and hundreds of them, and I gave them away or just, you know, got rid of them because a lot of them just repeat the same thing over and over again, which somebody else had already said, okay? And like I said last week, I do not do canned sermons. I don't, you know, do that kind of nonsense. So, and then second of all, we looked at last week was the 1 Timothy 4:1, Spirit now speak expressly in latter times, which we live in the latter times, that some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines. The devil's actually go around here today. I was out witnessing Friday morning. I was having a great time, and my goodness, there are so many religious people that go to different churches and this, that, and the other, and they don't have an inkling of what I'm talking about. They must think that I'm from some sort of cult or something. I said, do you love Jesus? Oh, no, we understand what you're talking. Oh, they get very defensive. And I'm like, wow, what do I, what? Yeah, so you just go ahead and talk to them and say thank you very much, and you go on, right? You know, I don't have time for this. There's other people I got to talk to. You don't want to fellowship and talk together? That's fine, okay? And again, God looks at the hearts. I believe there are saved people in a lot of churches, okay? I don't agree with their doctrine. Some people just stay there because their family and their families go there. And I believe they know the Lord Jesus, but they don't tell people that. They're hidden Christians, okay? A lot of them out there today, and yet there's a lot of apostasy going on. So there are doctrines that, you know, just blow my mind. You know, it's just, you might as well just bring everything with you, all your baggage and everything. The good news today is that we can bring our baggage, our luggage with us, and we can give it at the foot of the cross, amen? We can just leave our baggage there. Say, Lord, you take it. I don't need it anymore. It's my past. It's under the blood of Christ I'm walking on. I got a life to live. I want to serve you. I'm going to give you my all in all. I'm going to do the best I can through your Holy Spirit and through the blood of Christ and through the Word. So, we looked at the Muslim faith last week as well. It's the fastest growing religious faith in the world right now. There are 35% there, they say, in the United States. They're becoming more politicalized. Again, the Babylonian system is just that. It's the world system disguised in religion. and also with commercialism, and also with politics. They're all in bed with one another. Like I said last week, the pastors in some churches that I've been and I talked to the pastors there, gone out to lunch, and they're in bed with the politicians. It's everywhere. And so don't let anything surprise you because a man's wearing a cloak or suit. Remember, it's what's in the heart, what they preach with the Word of God. Then last, we looked at having a form of godliness, ceremony, ritual, rules, worship. That's Unitarianism, and that has the idea of that every religion leads to God. And I've heard Christians tell me, oh, every religion leads to God. I don't want to fluff up the blanket. I like to keep things nice and smooth. Keep that sheet nice and smooth. Don't want any wrinkles in it. Remember being in the military, you could pop a quarter on that bunk, you know. And you guys know what I mean. That drill instructor, you did not want to cross eyes with him. And with God, God takes that seriously too. You don't want to cross eyes with him either, because he takes you seriously. And remember, he knows, and he knows that we're sinners too. So that was the background, generally speaking, okay. And we talked about communism and a lot of the music, not all of it, a lot of music back in the 60s into the early 70s was communistic filtration-wise. You listen to the words. It's the philosophy. A lot of music sounded good, didn't it? It gets into your mind and your spirit. That's what music does. And so you have to be very careful what you allow to go through that mind. And not all music is good for you, okay? And remember, Satan was created as what? He was the chorus director, and he reflected God's glory. Remember that? He was made gloriously, and he had the instruments built in him. And he decided one day, you know what? I don't want to give glory to God. I want all the glory for myself. So that's where he fell. We talked about the five steps of his fall. Previously in the book of Revelation, Okay, so let's get into the Word of God. First of all, verses 1 through 8, we look at the fall of Babylon. Remember, Babylon is the city as a metaphor for that. It's not an actual city. In verse 2, it says, and after these things, saw another angel, coming down from heaven, having a great authority. In other words, it was another of the same kind in the original language, okay? Some people think it was Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus Christ. And it had, and having great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his glory. In other words, he was before the presence of God, just like Moses was before the presence of God. Remember, his face shone. And remember, twice he went up to the mount there, and he had to actually put on a veil over his face. The Shekinah glory was so bright, as like Paul said on Road to Damascus, it was brighter than the sun. It would blind you. That's what happened to Paul. Blinded him for 3 days. So, and he carried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. It's a double negative. That means it is through. It is done with. It will not be built again. It will never be inhabited, according to Isaiah 13, 19 through 20. I do not have the time to read the verse. It is the future. And people look at it and they'll say, there was a Babylon by the Euphrates River. Yes, there was at one time. And even that dictator back in 1991 from Iraq tried to rebuild it, and it didn't work out for him. So if God's word says it will never be rebuilt, it will never be. Again, it's a metaphor for the world system. Okay, it leaves out a lot of confusion that you hear today. The Antichrist is called the King of Babylon, Isaiah 14:4. See, he's a type. He is the prince of power of the air of this world right now. God is allowing him to rule and reign for a reason. And Jesus, we want to give you honor and glory. So Babylon is also mentioned in one of the first cities mentioned after Genesis chapter 11, after the flood, and where we get a lot of our false religion is from that. Well, I have time, I'll get into a little bit about that with Nimrod. So Yeah, Babylon is great, has fallen. Now we're at toward the end of the tribulation period, okay? And we looked at the seals, and then there's the trumpets, and then there's the bowls. So now John is writing, and he's saying, look, this great system that you hear about, know about, it's going to go away. All these things that we see right now, even the wonderful rain and the birds early in the morning, the sunrise, the sunset, the hot weather, the crazy weather we get sometimes, you know, it all will pass away. And then, and has become a dwelling place for demons. So it's interesting. Babylon itself, a lot of expositors believe that this is where Satan's domain is. Also, it has become a dwelling place for demons. And, of course, a prison for every foul spirit. And, of course, from this area here, we also found out through the fifth and sixth trumpet where you had the locusts. You had one group that were a horde of demons. Expositors, some people tried to make it something that it's not. They were demons which had a purpose that came out of the pit. Also, we found out here that there was a 200 million horsemen that had demons on top of them. They were especially made by God, okay? The kings of the east, like we looked at last week, they will be persuaded by three unclean spirits, the Antichrist, which is the false Jesus, the false prophet, which is the false Holy Spirit, and of course Satan, which is the false father. They will persuade these unclean spirits, persuade the nations of the Orient from the east to come to invade into Armageddon. Why are they engaging with it? They're not going to attack Israel necessarily. They're going after the Son of God, okay? And they will be deluded, they will be lied to, they will be deceived, thinking that, yes, we can defeat God Almighty, but as we'll get to that later on, God will strike them out by the word of his mouth. It will kill them all, and we will get to that later on. So it says, a prison for every foul spirit, and has the idea here of those demons that were before the flood that God has in a special place in the abyss on Tartarus, which has the idea of they cannot get out because they were so evil before the flood that God had to lock them up. God had to deal with them. And then, of course, a cage for every unclean, hated bird. So, again, this has the idea that God will one day he will take all these demons, and there are different types of demons, and I'm not going to get into all that like I learned in demonology, but I will tell you they're everywhere. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. It will tell you principalities, powers, rulers, so on and so forth. It's an army that is well equipped, and they know what they're doing. They've been around for a long time. They are a lot smarter than you are. They will deceive you. That's why you have to be filled with the Spirit, with the Word of God, and singing melody in your heart, and trusting the Lord, and walking in the Spirit, and keeping your eyes focused, because there's a lot of things that can make you go left and right. It says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. It has the idea of spiritual adultery. It has the idea of getting out. We are the bride of Christ, right? We are the church. And our Heavenly Father is the groom, right? And because of that, if we start going after the things of the world, we can be in the world but not of the world. Then that's the spiritual fornication. That's the spiritual adultery. So we have to keep ourselves focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So they have drunk the wine of her wrath of her fornication. And we're looking at the fall here. And the kings of the earth, those are the politicians. Remember, we talked about this earlier. The world will be broken up by 10 kings. Okay, we looked at the 10 horns. We looked at this last week. It's not 10 countries from the Europe like I was told many years ago. It does not make any sense. Because now in the European Union, I think there are 21 countries. So in Bible prophecy, there's going to be, for the whole world, there's going to be 10 kings that are going to be set up. And they have committed fornication with her, with the religious part of the world. Look, the Antichrist at this time is going to say, I'm the Savior. He's going to go down. He's going to be hunting down Christians like they're doing today in Sudan. And the president and the vice president aren't doing anything because one is Muslim. The other one is Muslim but is married to the Christian. And the Christian is like, well, I don't know really what to do. Well, you shouldn't be unequally yoked with a different religion. It makes no sense. So, and the merchants, that's the commercial part. So they're all in bed together, the politicians, the religious part, and the commercial. A birth had become rich through the abundance of the luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. For the sins have reached to heaven. God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered you. In other words, there will be a double payback for that, for her works. It was back in Exodus, if you were caught cheating in a financial aspect, you had to pay back double under the Jewish law. God's saying, look, you did wrong to my people. You cheated them. James says this. You treated the poor like they were dirt under your foot, and you treated them like doormats, and guess what? You're going to pay double for what you did because you knew exactly what you're doing. You were building for what? For your own pleasures, for your own palaces, for whatever you wanted to. And let me tell you, you know this, my friends. You can have everything in the world, and yet you remember Mark 8:38 says, what is a man gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? I have met some very rich people, multi-millionaires over the years, who said, you know, very quietly, we don't want to flaunt it, but you know what? It does not bring you happiness. If anything, money does, it causes people want to have what you want to have. So they, as a youth pastor, I knew a guy had $200 million and nobody knew about it, and he goes, you would never want that kind of money. I says, no, I would give it all away if I could. I wouldn't want all that money anyway. But that's what the world wants. They want, another banker told me in privacy, he says, my hobby is making more money. So that's the whole commercial system. People want more and more. You live in a house association, and you live with people and your neighbors, and all they're trying to do is bettering for themselves. They're all about themselves. Okay, and we live in a very selfish society because people are thinking about number one. So, and says the cup that she has mixed, it was mixed double for her. So God is with his wrath. In the measure she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. You realize BlackRock, a big organization, has $10 trillion of people's assets, most richest a commodity in the world, as so many assets is made up of many corporations, and they're the ones that are pulling the strings, so to speak, saying, you know, and with the stock market, and you wonder why gold and silver goes up and down, because they play with the markets, they play with numbers. They'll like what Jesus says, he goes, on the beginning and the ending. If you're a math whiz, everybody knows that you have a beginning and an end with numbers. Thank God, God is the beginning and the end, isn't he? So, and it says here, and they lived luxurious, and the measure was given her torment and sorrow. And it's too late then. God is judging the world now. He's judging the whole world, okay? And people are still saying no to God. You could have all this rain out here. It could stop in a second. When we lived in Alaska, the weather would stop. And the sun would come out. And then it would come rain again. It was weird. But you could show miraculous signs. Beautiful rainbows. Further up north you go. Some of you have been in Alaska. The rainbow becomes round, right? You know, some of us have seen triple rainbows, beautiful things. What do people do? Oh, I'll put the rainbow and I'll go ahead and call myself LBJZ. I don't know. The numbers go on. They're so complicated, but it's so simple that they don't want God. And they want to change our Constitution. They want to change the Bill of Rights. They want to change our independence. They want communism today. And they're doing it very slyly. And pray for the young people, because they are deceived. And she says in her heart, "Sit I as a queen. I am no widow, and I will not see sorrow." So the people that are very pompous today, and religious, political, and commercial. Now, we did see the destruction of the religious realm, but there will still be apostates out there. There will still be people playing what they're doing. And like it is in countries where Christians are being harassed and hurt and killed. They still have Mormons out there, Seventh-day Adventists. They will die with these cults for what they believe in. And even people who deny Jesus Christ, even atheists, would die too. It's amazing how unbelief is such a bad sin that it can cause people to go to hell. Therefore, with her plagues will come in one day. That has talking about what happened so suddenly. It's a metaphor. It will happen like in one day. It will happen so quickly. Like some of us are saying, well, you know what? The summer just started, didn't it? Well, it did back in June, right? Already it's August. And so we have to ask ourselves, what have we done? And I know a lot of you are going through some horrendous trials. You've had a blessing this summer. I'm sure you have. God has blessed you. But remember, God knows too when you're going through some very difficult times. My heart goes out to you as well as everybody else. And thank you for prayers. Keep on praying. Okay, I want to encourage you. Death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for the strong is the day of the Lord God who judges. So as we're looking at the fall here for the kings of the earth, who committed fornication, that means those rulers who committed fornication against God and lived luxurious with her, will weep and lament when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance in the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, this great city of Babylon." Again, it's a metaphor for the whole system in the world, because it will, you know, and that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment will come. Okay. Also, there was a man named Nimrod. He was the founder there in Babylon. His wife started the religious system. And, you know, and this is an interesting story, and I got to take a few minutes to tell you about this. Remember the Tower of Babel, which means confusion? And that word Nimrod means let us rebel. Well, Nimrod took care of the political issues. Remember, Nimrod was godless. He hated God. He was called the great hunter, and has the idea of not going out and shooting or going fishing or something like that. Has the idea of hunting down people that didn't go with him, and the atrocities that they did and the ungodliness. Remember, and then it says there was Samarius, which where you get the Samaritans, his wife, she started with the religious system, was born there, and her name was, she gave birth to a son named Tammuz, which they claimed was the son of God. And then as the story goes on from there, Moses was warned about this years later, that when Moses was there with the Israelites, not to keep the Canaanites around. He says, get rid of them, destroy them. Why? Because they had this religion of Baal, and it was the fertility goddess, and they used to do all kinds of nasty, mean things. This is part of the Babylonian worship. Again, it was the religious as well as the political system and the commercial system. They're all entwined. And then the Old Testament prophets repeatedly warned the people of God about being seduced. Ezekiel Jeremiah, Zechariah, all warned about this Queen of Heaven. In other words, they would substitute Mary and the baby Jesus, and they would say, look, this is whom we believe, and this is who we follow. This religious system, there was so much into this. You have to read the book, The Two Babylonians, which is not a popular book, especially with the Catholics, because it points a lot of that to that. And no, I'm not saying the Pope is the Antichrist. I'm not going there. But we see that in the city of Pergamos, Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, the angel of the church of Pergamos writes, these things I say, he who has a sharp two-edged sword, I know where your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. It's warning about compromise. And that's part of the Babylonian system. You just compromise. Where's the person's convictions? And there were false teachers there that gave themselves to idolatry just to avoid persecution. I understand when somebody breaks because of what happens when they're being persecuted, people do break mentally and emotionally. They can't take it anymore. But then God knows who's are his and who isn't. So I'm not going to judge anybody. I want to love people and understand them. Pergamos, chief priest of in Babylon, they honored the fish god Dagon, and their priests went on. Finally, they moved from there to Rome. And a lot of that which is incorporated is that is in the Church of Rome today. Again, like I said, read The Two Babylons. It's put out by Bishop. Very good book. And then, of course, the priests picked things up from there, and of course, the politicians picked up on that. The Vatican is very powerful, okay? We have to move on here. It says, the merchants of the earth, verse 11, of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys the merchandise anymore. In other words, will come a time when Babylon is destroyed. The commercial, political, and religious system will be destroyed, because with all these judgments happening, life is going to be miserable for people. You think you might have had a bad day, it's going to be awful. And you won't be able to drink, whether alone, like I said last week, maybe bottled water. But then, you know, there's a lot of other things going on. The merchants of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linens, purple silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object, ivory, every kind of object, most precious wood, bronze, iron, marble, and cinnamon, incense, fragrant oil, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, and the bodies of sold men. In other words, there is over 24 things mentioned here. And one of them there, of course, is the bodies and souls of men. We need to be praying for those who were caught in sex slavery. There was a movie put out about a year ago. This man put this out. What he was saying here, there is modern slavery in the United States, 400,000 people. Remember all those kids that couldn't find homes and all from the border, and 400,000, they say that many, 79% were trafficked for sexual exploitation. That is disgusting, and it's just, I can't believe it. But, you know, it's talking about here in the book of Revelation that in some instances, people are sold by the Islamic jihads, especially women and children. The men they kill, or they use them just as labor, but the women they use for sex purposes, and unfortunately, they run maybe $10-$15 a piece. How cheap, how awful that is. And don't tell me that the Muslim religion is a religion. It's not. It's political, it's evil, it's all kinds of wrong. You talk to somebody who's a Muslim, most Muslims don't know what you're talking about because they never read the Quran. Sadly enough, a lot of Christians today have never read the Bible because it's too big, 66 books. I can never do that. I got too much, you know, just try. I know it's hard, okay? And there was a time in my life when I hardly picked up the Bible too, before I got saved. But I like what it says in James. It says, come now, you rich, reap in hell. Your miseries are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Garments and moth eaten. Your gold and silver corrupted. Your corrosion be a witness against you. You will eat you flesh like fire that has a picture of hell, burning in hell. And you will be heaped up treasures in the last days. Jesus said, do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth, and moth and rust will destroy, the thieves break in and steal, but lay yourselves up treasures in heaven. There will be moth destroys, the thieves break in and steal. So put your treasure in heaven. There is nothing wrong with having a home, a couple of cars, and you work your tail off to get what you have. There's nothing wrong with materialism. It's if it turns into a god. The fruit of your soul, verse 14, longeth and has gone from you, and all those things which the rich have splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas. Again, the metaphor, the great city is clothed in fine linen, scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. In other words, people are very rich. They want to hold on to their riches. I feel sad because I think about people have so much. But yet, it's either they give it to their kids, which is fine, or they give it to a non-profit. That's fine. But, you have what you have and enjoy it. That's what I'm trying to say. And God gave it to you. God blessed you. But remember, it doesn't last forever. Amen? It doesn't last forever. In 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster is talking about the seas, who travels by ship, sailors, and many as trade on the sea at a distance. And they cried out, and they saw smoke afar off her burn, saying, what great city is like this? In other words, the world's going to be on fire. Different parts of it are going to be on fire. Destruction. People are going to be wailing and crying. There's no help. What is God doing? That is one of the reasons why they're going to converge on Armageddon, because they're going to be so angry. This God of nature is going to do what it does. They threw dust on their heads out, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city in which all the ships of the sea become rich in her wealth. Remember, a lot of the seas, a lot of the oceans, a lot of the fresh water were turned to blood. And we talked about those microorganisms a couple times through the book of Revelation. It gives us our oxygen supply. The stench will be horrible. And then if 1 hour it be made desolate, again, it be here today, gone tomorrow. And people are shaking their heads. Why? Rejoice over her, O heaven, and your holy apostles and prophets, and God has avenged her. So there will be the tribulation, saints. We had already looked at in Revelation chapter 6. It'll say, how long, Lord, will this go on? They went ahead and they killed my wife, killed my husband, took my kids, destroyed my home. If anybody's ever been through war, it's a horrible thing. You never want to go through that. And maybe some of us have been through that, or through a communist country. It's horrible, very horrible. And they're ruthless. They don't care. You will not have any rights. And then the mighty angel took up the stone from the great millstone, which they threw into the sea. And remember, Jesus says, better watch it for those who calls even one of these little ones. He's talking about those who are innocent, not necessarily children, but those that don't know any better. It's better that a great millstone was cast or put around their neck and cast into the deepest sea. In other words, deceivers, people that are double children of hell, of the devil. In other words, they knew better. They knew exactly what was going on, but they did it anyway. And then they ended up deceiving everybody else around them. Thus, with violence in the great city of Babylon, shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. Now listen to this. No more music. There will be the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard anymore. Have you ever been outside in the wilderness where it's dead quiet? You can't even hear a cricket. Okay, it's going to be horrible because music can lift you up. There shall be also not be no craftsmen or crafts be found anymore. In other words, there won't be any more work. You can't work anymore with your hands. People are gifted with different gifts. They can't use their gifts anymore. There won't be anything left there because everything will be destroyed. It'll literally be horrible here. And then I heard the sound of the millstone should be heard, not heard anymore. In other words, the machines, because they used to use millstones to grind the corn, to grind the grain, okay, and so on and so forth. None of that will be around anymore. And then the light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. In other words, you'll have a dead spirit, nothing worse than having a seeing yourself as walking around, feel like you're dead sometimes. Sometimes I do. I'm so tired, worn out, thinking like I'm dead to the world. Well, maybe that's a good thing. I have the Holy Spirit and I'm alive and well with Him. But sometimes we're just so tired, we're like, Lord, take me. And then the voice of the bridegroom shall not be heard anymore. There'll be no more weddings. There'll be no more joy. And then, of course, there, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, for your sorcery of all nations will be deceived. In other words, there's the people that deal with drugs, and it could be a lot of things with sorcery, which you get your word pharmacia, and people won't be able to, let's say if they're suffering from depression or from all kinds of medications out there. I'm just picking a few of them out there that are good for you, right? And remember, you weren't sinning. God, it's just the chemistry and balance. They won't be able to find anything anymore either because all the pharmacies will be shut down. So it's a big money out there too. And in her was found the blood of the prophets, saints, and all who were slain on the earth. So next week we'll be looking at heaven will be exalted or Babylon. Just keep this in mind. All the commercialism, the stock market, everything. The other day I looked, actually looked this morning, country's $39 trillion in debt. Okay? So, you know what? And remember, Russia, China, all these, a lot of countries are just as far in debt. So when that crash happens, eventually, okay, it's going to affect everybody. But, you know, I wouldn't go to Panic Palace and worry about it because guess what? We're going to heaven. As one person says, that's fine, I'm going to heaven. You can have my home. You can have my church. You know, if you want to use my body here for science, you can have that too because I ain't going to be here. I'm going to be in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. All right? So, there was pride and arrogance. That's number one. Number two, there's magic, sorcery, and corruption. Number three, there's deception. Number four, there's persecution of believers. That's what we read here. There are misuse of wealth, selfishly living. There is the corruption of people. Okay? And all this will lead to the collapse of the systematic world Babylon. Okay? And be careful what you watch online because people say, oh, I know where Babylon is, the United States. Then you find out that they're wrong. You know, Jesus is coming back in September. Wrong. Okay? Well, we know one young lady is going to have a baby in September, right? Right? Okay. Thank God for that. So, ending with this here, we have to understand that we need to pray for our country. That's what I'm going to close with. We need to pray for our country and say, you know, talk to young people. Have you ever heard about Jesus? Just a quick question. We had two little ones there earlier, and they saw what was on that evangelistic car outside. John 3:16, one of them could memorize. I thought, that's great. Yeah, if you could just memorize one verse and tell somebody, you're just sitting there, you don't know what to say, you know? Your mind goes blank. Say, you know, I was wondering, what do you think of the Bible? You know, just give them a little poke and love, you know, don't hurt them. And say, you know, Jesus loves you too. And let the Word of God, pray about it as you're witnessing. Always be praying in the Spirit, because sometimes I can make myself look the fool, and I have to be careful. And, you know, God wants us to do the right thing, so we need to pray. Eventually, we know the book of Revelation is supposed to bless us. And so I hope that this morning's message has been a blessing, but remember, somebody had asked me, and they said, well, things are going to get better. I don't think so. I think a lot of things are just covered up. It's just like one person said, between World War II and the Vietnam War, World War II, they went over there because they were putting people in ovens. The Vietnam War, they didn't know who their enemy was, and it was worse when you were over there. talked to Paul Crook. Kimberly remembers what her dad said. It's missing in action. She said, you didn't know who your enemy was. Big difference. And that's why we lost a lot of guys, 50,000 people in the Vietnam War. They didn't know who their enemy was. And so they were scared. The communists would scare them. So we need to pray about our spiritual battle, what we're going through. And remember, we already had the victory. We have the victory. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're victorious in Jesus, our Savior forever. He bought me when we sought him. And we thank you that we can go through life's way. Lord, we just pray, Father God, that, you know, the little things we pick up along the way, it's just like picking up a penny or dime or quarter, maybe a dollar bill. The things that we can pick up from your word, you know, is valuable to us that we can use, and our treasures in heaven. And we just pray for the people that are deceived all around us. Lord, help us not to be deceived ourselves, but there's apostasy running rampant. And there's, you know, it seems sometimes we're on the losing side. We are on the winning side. And I want to encourage everybody. I have to encourage myself. This system of Babylon, the political, the religious, the commercial system, it's not going to last forever. But yet your word says you allow it to rain on the just and the unjust. But yet the word of God never goes void. Lord, we thank you for that. Help us and answer our prayers about the trials and tribulations we're going through. Some of us here are thinking about decisions we're making for this week, important decisions. Other of us are just going, it felt like the world's falling on top of us. Thank you that you can reach down and you can pull us up and put us back there with you. Lord, thank you for the blood. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.